First of all, I want to let you know a couple things. The elevator in the Southwest Vestibule has been restored and rebuilt, and it's now usable. So if you need that, please take advantage of it. Also, we have book club this week on Wednesday at 2 and again at 7. There were a family of wildebeests in the African savannah. Of course, wildebeests are also called gnus. There was a papa gnu, mama gnu, and baby gnu. And it was the evening, and they went to have their porridge, but it was too hot, so they decided to go out for a walk. And as they were walking, they noticed the sky started to get dark, and papa gnu said, "We better head back." And they no sooner headed back than a bolt of lightning came, zap! No more papa gnu. Well, mama gnu and baby gnu started running back to the house, and zap! No more baby gnu, no more mama gnu. Then zap! No more baby gnu. And from the sky is heard a voice, "That's it for the news, now for the weather and sports." I know it's terrible, but there is, in fact, good news. As Paul says, in Christ we have become a new creation. New things have come. In spite of our first parents' sin, and through that the weakness that makes it impossible for us to do anything on our own to please God, and in spite of our personal sins that ratify original sin, we are not left alone and helpless. The Father, through Jesus, through his life, death, and resurrection, has reconciled the world to himself, making it possible for us to become righteousness, the very righteousness of God in Christ. Through his grace, we have been given new life. Not just once for all, but we are offered the grace to come back when we have turned away from the Lord by serious sin. We are still invited to come back through reconciliation, through the sacrament of penance. And through the sacrament of penance and through the Eucharist, our faith and our life can be deepened and strengthened. We see in the gospel today touching testimony that we have heard this story many, many times. But we often need to listen with a new understanding. First of all, neither of the sons really understood their father's love. The younger one says, "I don't want to wait until you're dead. I wish you were dead now so I could have my inheritance." Terrible thing to say to a father. Yet the father allows it, though it breaks his heart, because he knows his son needs to understand freedom and to understand the Father's love. And when everything is gone, the son remembers his father's generosity, even to the people that his hired hands, and he returns, not really understanding yet the Father's love, but just thinking he can get a meal there. And he prepares a speech. How many times have we prepared a speech to give when we've done something wrong? But he starts to head back. And the Father's mercy is such that he understands what the son is going through. He understands that the son is beginning to, when the son sees the father a long way off, the son is beginning to really understand the father's love for him. And the father understands that the more he understands, the more the son understands his love, the harder it is for him to approach because of what he has done to the father, how he has hurt his father. And if the father didn't run to the son, the son would probably have turned away. The father loves the son. And he runs to get him and doesn't even let him finish the speech. He says, Bring the best robe, put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Kill the fatted calf. We have to celebrate. This son was dead, and now he's alive. And then we also see the depth of the father's love to the older son. The older son has hurt the father too. Basically, he says, Dad, you've been a slave driver to me. And so he won't go in. But a father, again, goes out and reaches out to the older son to bring him in. And I believe that eventually he did come in to be reconciled. God is reaching out to each one of us, each day and every day. He wants to help us understand the depth of his love for each one of us, the love that's unreasonable, unmerited, undeserved. And he asks us to take just one step back, and he will help us the rest of the way. He wants us to see the truth of this new love that the Pharisees don't understand. They have the attitude, one strike and you're out. Jesus says, no, the Father wants us to return. He wants us to turn back without fear. He wants us to understand that once we have been forgiven, that sin is gone. And as often as we seek forgiveness itself by the working of grace, we will be forgiven and reconciled. Jesus is telling the Pharisees and us that he wants us to understand the depth of his love for each one of us, the depth of his forgiveness, that we might be forgiving and merciful. For if we want mercy, we must in fact be merciful by God's grace, so that with joy we might live and celebrate the life that is ours, the life of children of God, brothers and sisters to Christ Jesus.